Welcome, everybody, to another Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Maddie Lee, out in the Golden One Center in Sacramento, joined on the phone by Barry Trammell after the Thunder's 94-93 loss to the Kings. Barry, we had another close one. It seems like the Thunder's just going to make 95% of their games within 5 points.
Yeah, it's one the Thunder gave away. I mean, this is a game they dominated. Defense was really good and had Sacramento on the run. And then at the end of the third quarter, they let the Kings get hot for about a minute or two. And then they're in the fourth quarter, they let the Kings get hot for a minute or two. And Sacramento can score in bunches. And then at the end, Sacramento made a couple of plays and the Thunder didn't. And they lose one they should have won.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned how good the defense was. Those runs by the Kings seem to be more of an offensive issue, if that makes sense. Like, it wasn't that the Thunder was having these massive defensive breakdowns. It was they were letting the Kings get out in transition, which this Kings team has not been a fast team like we're used to in the past. But Buddy Hield can get out in transition and knock down 2 threes in a row and suddenly give you a game.
Yeah, and, you know, for them, you know, I don't know. What Buddy finish? He 6 of 8? No, 8 of 20 or
yeah,
something.
He, 9 of 24.
He hit, got hot at the end with the threes to get up to 5 of 14. So, yeah, they really messed with the Kings in the half court offense. But, the defense sort of collapsed in the transition. I thought offensively, I thought the Thunder was pretty careless all day, had sort of a lackadaisical attitude. Now, they made a bunch of shots, particularly from 3-point range.
Yeah.
And that's what sort of, you know, 13 of 33 is really good.
Yeah.
So that masked some of the problems. I thought in the first quarter, particularly, they were really careless with the ball. In the middle of the game, I thought some of the role players thought they were at the rec center, jacking up shots, and so it wasn't, you know, it was not a pristine offensive performance, even though they shot it well.
Yeah, they started off really sloppy. There was one point where you looked up and they were shooting like 20-something% from three. I mean, even end of first quarter, 30% from the field, 28.6% from three. But what saved them at that point was that the Kings weren't shooting it well either.
Yeah, this was for most of the game, this was a pace of both teams going to finish in the 80s in points. And heck, they almost got there anyways, 94-93. I thought the Thunder had a little bit of a sassy attitude in terms of, hey, we won in Utah, we won in Portland. We can go out here and have a good time and just win this game. And I think you saw it with your passing. I thought they made a lot of careless passes. Now, ended up they had some good, you know, they ended up, you know, paying off in a lot of ways because the assists were way. Let's see, they had 24 assists on 34 makes, but I thought also they just didn't care. They didn't really value possessions. They had 16 turnovers, and you know, Billy talked about that a little bit after the game, talking and what you referred to, which is, hey, you know, carelessness on offense. He called it stagnant offense. Mm-hmm. Set up some of the transition threes. Thunder had a pretty good pace going at halftime, but Sacramento ended up outscoring them. 14-12 in fast break points. So, yeah, it was a game they shouldn't have lost, and they did.
Yeah, that the worst stretch for those fast break points that the Thunder was giving up was right at the end of that third quarter, like you mentioned before, when the Kings went on that big run, because you had Lu Dort miss a three, and then Buddy Hield rebounds and makes a jumper on the other side. Then you had Shai Gilgeous-Alexander do the same thing, and again, Buddy Hield makes a three-pointer on the other side, and then Darius Bazley turns the ball over, and the good fortune of the Thunder there, Bogdanović ended up missing the three on the other side, but that could have been three threes in really quick succession.
Yeah, they get outscored 8-0 in the last minute of the third quarter, and it starts with a quick three by Dort. You know, everybody likes Dort and his energy and what he, you know, how he fights. But for crying out loud, the guy's going to have to start showing some basketball sense. He's shooting like he's Lou Williams out there. Just that, you know, hey, throw me the ball, I'll make it from anywhere. And he's just jacking up shots. And
it's because he is Lou Williams in the G League.
Well, maybe so. But, I mean, this is not a guy who – I think he's now 0-7 from three with the Thunder. But this is not a guy that's just missing. I mean, he can't shoot a lick. And – the one thing, you know, when the Thunder's had guys that can't shoot well, Andre Roberson, if they got an open three, they'd take it, but they weren't looking for that shot. He seems to be out there ready to just jack it as soon as it gets in his hands, and that's got to change.
Yeah.
Crying out loud, that's got to change.
He's been fantastic on defensive, and we've written and talked about it a lot, but yeah, it's the decision-making, which comes with being young and comes with being a rookie, but like you said, he's shooting terribly from three. He actually looks really good driving the basket. He's like very powerful, can finish through contact. But he's, instead of making the decision to make the extra pass or to drive to the basket or to drive and kick, he's taking those threes that they're giving him for a reason.
Yeah, you know, he and Bazley did not have good nights. I mean, they each play 11 or 12 minutes, and they're both in the minus and minus 14 for Bazley, minus 11 for Dort. On the other hand, if you're looking for positives, for crying out loud, Abdel Nader really came through. 5-6 shooting from three-point range, and played some power forward when they rested Gallinari. There were some positives tonight. Nerlens Noel was excellent, I thought.
He's been sneaky good. Like, I feel like we haven't talked about him the past few games, but he's put in some pretty solid minutes for the Thunder.
Yeah, the Thunder's really good at center. I mean, when they don't fall off, you know, Adams I'm very high on. A lot of people are.
Oh, especially recently, too. Since he got healthy, my goodness.
Yeah, right. But when he comes out, Noel is staying strong. So it's the center position is really good, but the Thunder's still shorthanded without Ferguson. Mm-hmm. They need a little bit of they don't have a lot of depth to start with. Dennis Schroeder was great again in the first half, now not so great in the second half.
Yeah, but I don't know what happened. He just fell off. He went from every time they needed a bucket getting to the rim or creating something. He was shooting really well from three, and then the second half he just kind of disappeared on offense.
Yeah, only took three shots in the second half. Let me ask you a question.
All right.
Thunder, of course, gives up that three to Bogdanović, which is basically Schroeder's fault, because Adams and Paul did a fabulous job on Buddy Hield, refused to let him shoot a three. When you're up two and the other team's got the ball with like 30 seconds left, that means you're going to get the ball back. So don't let them shoot a three. Let them do about anything except shoot a three. And Paul and Adams did not let Buddy Hield shoot a three, but Schroeder got sort of lost. And he closes out on Bogdanović, and rather than run him off the line, he went flying past, gets the pump fake, open three for Bogdanović, and presto. But then, anyway, so Thunder's got one last possession. Are you surprised they went basically in a one-on-one situation with Paul? They got the switch off to where Holmes, the center, Sacramento centers on CP3. Did you think, is that what sort of you were thinking they might do, is put the ball in Chris Paul's hands?
Honestly, I was expecting them to go back to they've been talking about ball movement the whole season. And granted, like, probably the guy you'd want to shoot it would be Danilo Gallinari, and he had a rough night shooting. At the time, I was surprised that they didn't move the ball more, and that essentially Chris Paul just dribbled out the clock and then took a three. But it was like he loves that spot. That's right, like right around the right elbow.
Right.
It was contested though. Like that's
you're
the
right.
thing.
He didn't get a lot of separation.
It's a contested mid-range shot and we know analytics tell us contested mid-range not a very effective or efficient shot. And yeah, when you're Chris Paul, you're more efficient from that spot than most other people, but he felt fine. Like, you know, he and Billy Donovan both said he took it from his spot. They're fine with that. But I was surprised. I wanted there to be a little more than just Chris Paul trying to win the game in an ISO situation.
I thought they might go with Schroeder because he's so good at getting to the basket.
Yeah.
If that had been – if the exact same scenario had happened and the Thunder had forced a switch out with Holmes covering Schroeder, I think the Kings would have been in a lot more trouble because no chance would Holmes be playing that far out on Schroeder as he was on Paul, because right. You can't let that guy go by you. And that might have created Schroeder likes the mid-range too.
He does.
He might have got the same shot, only more open. But, you know, that's not where they lost the game. They lost the game well before that.
Yeah, I mean, you look at those last two plays, and obviously you can nitpick and pick them apart and find out, like, little time, you know, like maybe if Schroeder had been a step earlier out to contesting Bogdanovich, or maybe if you know, someone else had taken that last shot, although, you know, Chris Paul has been in that situation a million times. He's going to be, you know, you can't argue with that, right? But they had, if they had just, you know, closed out the third quarter, been able to keep, I think they led as many as 14. So hold on to some of that lead, and you're not in that situation where you're looking at every little half second in the last, like, down the stretch.
Yeah, and, you know, like we talked about the last last minute of the fourth of the third quarter, but, you know, they had a healthy lead. They're up, you know, what was it? They're up 86-77. They're 86-75 with 7:14 left.
Yeah.
And that's when the offense sort of stagnated. The Thunder goes, I don't know what it was. They go, oh my goodness. They went 5 minutes without scoring. It was a 14-0 run by the Kings. And finally, Nader hit that clutch three to tie it. But even then, in the last 2:37, the Thunder only gets 4 points. So the offense really didn't do much down the stretch at all. Offense scores 7 points the last 7 minutes. So, you know, you can't win games doing that.
Yeah, no.
SGA did not have a strong game. He had a little flurry where he was good, but Paul did not have a strong game. Gallinari had trouble making them. As always, Steven Adams is Wilt Chamberlain in the first quarter, and then, you know, then doesn't do much the rest of the game offensively. Yep. I don't know why they run the offense through him early and then don't go back to it. And it's been two or three years now, and I still can't figure out why. So there's got to be an explanation for it.
Yeah, it was almost like they've gotten so used to, and in the first half got used to Schroeder just taking the game over when the offense was starting to go stagnant, and then he didn't in the second half. and no one else stepped up into that role.
Yeah, it was, in a lot of ways, it was a shame to waste that kind of shooting performance. 13 of 33. Now, if you take away just Abdel Nader, then all of a sudden it's 8 of 27, and that's not quite as good. So, I mean, when we talk about a great shooting night, we're really talking about Abdel Nader.
Did you ever think last year that you'd speak those words?
No, but you know what? Let me ask you: what's the chances that he can sort of become a spot up shooter, a guy that they can sort of count on most nights to get him some 3-point shots? It's not a case of the Thunder is a pretty good shooting team, but they don't really have a sharpshooter, a guy that comes off the bench. Most teams have that. Schroeder's sort of given it to him a little bit, but if Abdel Nader can get to where he can be consistent on that 3-point shot, he's going to play a bunch.
Yeah, I don't think it's that unlikely that Abdul could come in and take over, kind of take on that role, because he, so much of his career has been very up in the air about if and when he's going to play. And I think that's a hard mental hurdle to get over. And now that he's had, four consecutive starts, you're seeing him start to figure out kind of his spots and his role on this team, which essentially was his issue before, that he was hesitant and he was, his decision-making wasn't great because he was either overthinking things and kind of just like his body was moving before his mind or vice versa, or he was taking a too far of a step back or taking too many shots that weren't his shot. And so I think if he can figure out his defined role and stick with it and know where he fits in on this team, he could be a lot more consistent than we've seen in the earlier parts of his career.
Well, I don't want to get people too excited, but for the season, the guy now is shooting 21 of 45 from 3-point range after tonight.
That's really good.
That's pretty serious shooting. That's getting into the 45% area. So if he can keep making baskets, he's going to play. So
that might be better than Danilo Gallinari at this point, if we're looking at averages.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it is. You know what? Gallinari,
he's right around.
He goes 3-9 tonight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's not. Gallinari coming in tonight was,
last I checked, he was around 40, right?
Yeah, for 3-point range, Gallinari coming in tonight was 40.3. Nader was actually the leading shooter, percentage-wise, 3-point shooter coming into tonight, and then goes for the big 5 of 6. But they're not a bad 3-point shooting team. They're up to Schroeder's up to 34% or whatever he is, and he's an effective shooter when he's doing that well. So,
and we've seen Shea be better.
Yep. He only took one tonight, so he's around 35%. He needs them, and Paul has, Paul's in the 36% range. So, this would have been a good one to get because, they played so well in Utah, so well in Portland. You win tonight, it's a 4-game winning streak. You've beaten a team that, is right there in the playoff race with you.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been a good one to get. You really have a lot of momentum going into Denver. Now, of course, you're looking at a 2-2 road trip unless you upset the Nuggets.
Right.
And so it was a little bit of a bummer.
Yeah.
Although a game they could have got.
Absolutely. The other part of that, though, is I think if you take away the names, if I were just to say, hey, they went on this road trip where they went Portland, Utah, Sacramento, Denver, and they came away 2-2. without telling you who they won and lost to, how would you feel?
Oh, I'd be all fired up. Yeah, I'd be all fired up. Because I thought it was a 1-3 road trip.
I did too. And I thought this was going to be the one.
Yeah, this was perhaps the one. I didn't know if they could get this. But it's been a great road trip because they came into this road trip. No one's that excited about them. And
especially on the road.
Yeah, people are going to be excited about them either way. You know, you get greedy when you play so well at Portland, when you play so well at Salt Lake, you get greedy. And then, you know, they dominated points of the game tonight. I do think this. Forget the winning and losing. I think the defense that they've shown on this road trip is really encouraging. And if they can keep that up, everything's really going to take care of itself. Would the Kings have 10 foul shots? I mean, they were playing great defense and not fouling tonight. So that's a wonderful development. If they can keep that up, man. I haven't checked the numbers, but you know, I would assume they're a middle of the road NBA defense.
Especially
if they play like this, they're going to be a lot better.
Yeah, on this road trip so far, no team has scored more than 96. 96 was what the Trailblazers scored against the Thunder on that first night, and that's the most. Like, to keep three teams in a row under 100 is pretty good job.
Yeah, in this day and age, it really is. And, you know, this is a team in Sacramento that had scored a bunch and beaten Dallas and Houston in recent days. So, let's see, coming into this game, the Thunder was 13th in defense. So, you know, you want to be a top 10 defense, and heck, maybe they will be here fairly soon. They're not Milwaukee, but you know, they got the chance to be really good. Now the offense is hit and miss as well. I think the 14th in offense. I don't know that they can get a lot better on offense.
Yeah, especially once they start trading people.
Yeah, but the defense, you know, when Adams is out there, things generally go pretty well. And they're playing this good defense without Terrence Ferguson, who is a very good defensive linchpin for them. So I'm encouraged by this team. Not happy that they lost to Sacramento when they should have won, but I'm overall encouraged by what I'm seeing out of the Thunder. It's a case of I think they're better than we thought they were. I think they got a shot at the playoffs if they want it. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's the if. I did this with Joe the other day, so I figure we can wrap up and get your input on this. What, if you have to pick one thing from this, I guess we're almost at 25 games. We're coming up right up on that mark. What's the biggest surprise for you this first a little over a quarter of the season?
Biggest surprise? I would say I'm surprised at how well Schroeder, how much of the offensive load Schroeder is taking.
Yeah.
He's really become a sixth man spark plug. He was last year, but he's really upped his game, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
He might be the biggest surprise because we knew he was a good player, but he's been really good, and he was fantastic in the first half today, 6 of 11. You know, your sixth man goes 17 points, shoots 7 of 14 for the game. That's what his numbers were tonight.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, to me, that was rock solid.
Yeah, and he still led all Thunder scores, which he's done a ton this season. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but, you know, probably more than you'd expect, right? But, yeah, I think it's the consistency that we didn't see. We saw him have games like this last year, but not at this consistent of a level. All right, what storyline, if you had to pick one storyline that you want to follow through the next quarter of the season? What are you looking for?
Taking away, not counting trades, throw that one out. I want to see. What happens with Steven Adams. The first 10, 11 games, whatever it was, he was clearly bothered. He wasn't playing well. He was. It was a physical thing. He's healthy. He's playing really well, and his offense is getting stranger and stranger. He scored off the dribble against Utah, for crying out loud, two or three times, which is just nuts.
He took another three the other night.
Yeah, and he's doing something, but like tonight, he had one of those 8-foot flip shots he could have taken, and he passed it up. So it's almost like he replaces things in his arsenal instead of adds to them. You know, so I'd like to see that flip shot, that, you know, 8-10 foot one hander from the middle of the vein come back. And he's gotten to where he likes the hook, and he's better at it. He's actually scoring a little bit with his back to the basket, which he's never done very well. But I want to see if he could blossom and get all the aspects of his offensive game going. And if he can, then he's going to join SGA and Chris Paul and Gallinari and Schroeder as consistent 15, 16, 17 point scorers. If you got five of those guys going for 16 a night, well, then you're in pretty good shape, as long as the other guys are getting some minutes.
Yeah, I guess that's where you get that potential offensive boost. All right. I think that's a good place to end as any. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this Thunder Buddies podcast. Like it, love it, share it, subscribe, share it with your friends. And we will see you on Saturday after Thunder at Denver.